Welcome to PR After Hours, your twice weekly cocktail of business, PR, and marketing tips hosted by me, Alex Greenwood. Every week, we bring you virtual happy hours featuring business advice from entrepreneurs and leading thinkers in PR, marketing, and business. We're going to get started in just a moment, so stick with us.
This is Holly Jackson, host of Inspiration Contagion podcast. You're in the virtual lounge with Alex Greenwood of PR After Hours.
Do you know your customer? No. I mean, I know you know their name. And, right, you know every customer's name, right? No, of course you don't. But you know your general demographic and who you're targeting, right? What? What are you telling me you don't? Well, don't worry. Calm down. Take a deep breath. Get some water. We got some help. He's on the way. It's Angelo Ponzi. 25 years plus of client-side agency and consulting experience in diverse industries, from semiconductors to financial to ice cream. And he focuses on three strategic pillars for success: insights, brand, and plan to develop effective and efficient programs for building enduring brands and sustainable and profitable business growth. He's a fractional chief marketing officer, and that sounds fantastic to me. I think I've heard that term several times, and to a large degree, I'm a fractional PR director. So I'm kind of curious to see how we overlap as we welcome Angelo Ponzi to the virtual lounge. Angelo, hello, sir.
Alex, thank you so much. That was a great introduction. I feel like I should be ripping my shirt open and showing you the S on my t-shirt underneath, right? <It's>,
but it might be a fractional S, though. So
it might be, yeah. Yeah, I don't want the DC Comics calling me up and telling me to cease and desist. So, you know, I got to be careful with that.
I understand all too well. Hey, let me go to that last point first. I would love to know, and I'm sure our audience too, who is comprised and composed of, I always get those two mixed up, so I'll say them both, of both public relations, marketing, and just general solopreneurs and business owners. What is a fractional marketing officer? What is a chief marketing officer in a fractional sense? How does that work?
Sure. So basically, in the fractional role, my customers buy a fraction of my time. So it could be, you know, 2 hours a week, could be 4 hours a week, 5 hours a week, whatever it happens to be. So when I first engage with somebody, we talk about, you know, what's the scope of the work, what's really needs to be done, how much of it needs to be external. I have one client, I used to go into their office for 8 hours a week and sit in an office, and I help manage a staff of, I think at the end of the day, there was like 20 people in sales and marketing. And so I went there, and sometimes I was working on their business. Sometimes I was just sitting in their office doing my other work, but they wanted me on site. And so the fraction becomes a fraction of my time. If I do interim work, it's usually more on a full-time basis, but I'm in that role on an interim basis. So sometimes they say, hey, we just lost our senior level marketer. We need somebody to come in for the next 2 months while we're looking for a full-time hire. We don't want to miss a beat. And that's the other side of the coin. And we say, you know, outsourced and those kinds of things, but really it's interim or fractional. And then there's the consulting side where, you know, I'm just selling a few hours of my time and doing some coaching, actually working with a digital agency right now as their coach, which is interesting. And I got the gig because I grew and sold an agency. And so, you know, I had done it once before, and they said, if you've done it, you know, help us do it. And so I meet with her once a week for about an hour, and we talk and give her direction and ideas and those kinds of things.
Is it a tough sell? I guess it's not. You've got great clientele lined up and everything, but was it at one point a tough sell to explain the fractional nature of this? Did people feel like it would, let me just put my former business owner hat on myself here and say, I don't know if you could just come in, you know, for a couple hours a week or help me, you know, here and there. I don't know if that's going to be helpful to me. How would you sell that, Angelo, if you don't mind?
Yeah, it's confusing to some people, especially when they're used to having a full-time person. And, you know, so part of that is about, you know, if you hire me full time in the course of the week, let's say it's 40 hours, you may not actually get 40 hours of work out of me, right? Because I'm at the water cooler, I'm talking to people, taking long lunches, whatever it happens to be. But in the role I take on, you get, you know, every minute of every hour is focused on your business that you're hiring me for. Why? Because I have to justify what I do, and I have to make sure I'm moving the needle. So it really is more efficient in a sense. So you're getting, you know, at a much reduced cost that if you were to bring somebody on like myself full time, then you got the overhead and all of that. So now they've got, you know, my skill set at a much reduced rate. And, you know, hopefully they got the people inside that I can give direction to. Usually most of my clients have some type of marketing person on staff. It's usually more of a junior person. They're good at executing. They can build the website. They can do the digital campaign. They can make a brochure. But when it comes to strategy and really digging in and understanding the differences in within the vertical markets that they might be selling, you know, they just, that's not their thing. They don't understand that. They don't understand how to build that business plan and whether you're scaling or pivoting. And so that's kind of the role I fill in. It is, you know, lately I'm in the middle of repositioning my brand. Frankly, I'm tired explaining the Ponzi scheme to people that I'm not part of that, but,
but I didn't say it. I want credit that I did not say that.
I know. I know you wanted to. I could see it. I could see that you wanted to. And you wouldn't be the first already this morning, but, and so we're kind of moving into this role of marketing architects, and that's that built using analytics and, as the foundation, fact-based information. And so we use research, as you said, insights. We're using a lot of research to gather that information, understanding the market, understanding the customers, using those nuances to help shape messaging and positioning, and then driving the business plans or strategic marketing plans or sales plans. And then once we get the kind of the tactical side, which is going to be part of that plan, we convert into general contractors, if you will, and we'll bring in other teams to execute, and then we'll either manage or, again, we might turn into consultants at that point in time. You just give advice to make sure they stay on plan, on budget, on time, and on message.
Would you mind one more question just about this from me, sure, if you don't mind? Because I get this myself, and I've been inadequate at explaining it, and you've already, in the past 4 minutes, already made this so much simpler. A lot of our listeners are just like us, marketing or PR folks, and I've been doing this for 27 years, and I got to a point 11 years ago where I opened up my consultancy. At first, it was an agency, right? Got up to about 6 people, worked my tail off, never slept, all that stuff. And finally, about 4 years ago, Angelo, I just decided, okay, this is not for me. I've got to become more of a consultant. And I never used the fractional term, but I like that because that's really what I'm doing I'm doing this for a digital agency right now, as a matter of fact. I'm basically their fractional PR person. I've just never marketed myself that way. So the quick question I have, and then I want to get into knowing the customer, okay? I promise you were going to get to what you want to talk about. But is the sense that, you know, I've had to kind of work with clients, to educate clients in a gentle way about the difference between hiring me as a consultant and hiring me as an actual contractor well, when I hire you, you're on call all the time. You're working, you're doing these things. Whereas consultancy, it's a little different, right? Is there a subtle difference in your mind, or how do you bridge that thought process?
Well, there is, and here's a great example. So I'm talking about this digital firm I'm consulting with, and her quarter is coming to an end. They haven't hit their sales goals. And so yesterday in our meeting, she says, and I'm going to put everything on hold until June or July, because I'm not going to focus on the things that we're talking about. So why don't we just regroup? So I'm a consultant, right? So, okay, I understand. And, you know, here's some of the things you should be doing over the next 30 days, but I get it. You're going to focus on sales. Now, you know, in that fractional role, you know, we're committed. We're, you know, they're paying me. I'm driving. I'm not relying on someone to say, yes, let's talk today or let's work today. I have time for you today. I'm just running. I've got a charter. I'm working, whether I'm in the office or out of the office, to move and do the things I need to do. And one of my gigs, which lasted about 18 months, normally they're six months, 9 months, but this one went 18 months. And I oversaw sales. I oversaw marketing. But I would do things like go to the sales meetings and then say, you know what, I don't like the way they're being run. Go back to, you know, my contact and say, I think we need to change these. Here's why. Putting metrics. So I was really implementing things that I really felt that the company needed to move forward versus waiting for the CEO to come to me and say, let's go. Why don't you go to the sales meeting? I think there needs, right? So I'm being very proactive. So that's kind of the big difference that I see. And the other thing, now that we're talking about this kind of stuff, is the other is you and maybe your listeners, we always get pushback. It's like, oh my God, your hourly is that much?
And so I
saw this somewhere, and I do use it, and I probably won't get it exactly right. And I say to them, it's not the hourly, it's not the cost, it's not the $300 or $400, whatever you want to charge. It's not that hour. It's the 30 years that's packed into that hour. And that's what you're buying. You're buying that knowledge. You're buying that experience from semiconductors to ice cream. And because I believe it's the marketing discipline is where the knowledge needs to come from. And maybe you'll agree with this. So many times I go, well, you know, you don't actually have any, you know, SaaS experience, or you don't have, you know, manufacturing or supply chain or ice cream or vodka. And my point to them, it doesn't really matter. I understand the basics of marketing. I understand the principles. I understand how to get information. And I can utilize that information to be strategic. As I said to literally the ice cream parlors across the country, they said, what experience do you have? I said, well, I eat a lot of ice cream. I really love it, but I don't know how to market it. But oh, by the way, you're a franchise organization, and I've worked with a ton of franchise organizations. And I actually bought one once. And it turned out to be, it was my 6-month experience that my wife told me, do not buy a franchise, which I did, still brings it up to this day, gave me that edge over all the competition. So you never know where it's going to be. But at the end of the day, it's the fact that I knew how to get that information. I knew how to talk to consumers. You know, I know how to talk to presidents of businesses. And that's the foundation of, frankly, as we're going to segue into knowing your customer. There's so many times, and I've just done a series of videos. When we hear the word marketing, it just encompasses everything. And today everybody says, oh yeah, it's the website, it's the digital campaign, it's my landing pages, it's a webinar. That's the tactics. Marketing to me is about that upfront work and really understanding not only, you know, our customers, our clients' clients, right? It's not about, we have to understand their business, but I need to understand their customers. I understand their motivations, their behaviors, their needs, their wants, their pain points, and how to change their behaviors if they're not buying, or how to make sure they continue to buy. And I can't do that without knowing them very intimately. And I'm not sure if we were online yet, or but you made the comment about knowing your customer, right? I have their names. Well, that's not knowing your customer. I literally had a client say to me, yeah, we know all our customers. We have all their job titles. Well, that's not knowing your customers. And so understanding it really in a deeper level of what their issues are, right? Because ultimately, we're helping our clients sell to their clients. And as a matter of fact, I'm doing a webinar a little bit later today, and this is one of the topics. And by not knowing my customer's issues and problems, I can't help them solve it. You know, if I'm working with a restaurant, we know restaurants have been impacted, but we also know that their consumers now have other choices. Now they're ordering more food in. We know digital transformation has changed a lot of that. They're, you know, Grubhub and all those different places are now have access, and they've exploded. Well, that doesn't mean that their customer base has necessarily changed. It means their customers' behaviors have changed. And I need to figure out a way to get them back in. And that's that idea of knowing your customer really intimately is so important.
Is it how lengthy a process is? Let's say you're onboarding a new customer. How much length of time is there an average that you could typify to get to know all of these things about the new client's customer?
Sure. A typical program for me is about 90 days to plan.
Yeah.
So that could mean competitive analysis. It could mean talking to customers. It could mean a research, a quantitative study going out into the market. And there's certain aspects that I do. I have an assessment tool that I use to understand the various aspects of the customer, of my customer. And I do it across their key stakeholders. And coming from the PR world, you know this, if you're talking to the CEO and then you're talking to the VP of marketing, VP of sales, and VP of operations, and you ask them a question, when they're all in the room, they tend to all bob their head. Yep, that's us. If you ask them separately, it doesn't always work out that way.
Right.
And so I look for disparity in the answers and what's the question and how important is that question that they don't all agree. So I have to look for alignment, because if I can't get them in alignment, by the time I get to 90 days out, I might have created something that they're all not behind. Right. So that's usually my first step. And then, you know, I always looked at the competition, and then I look at, can we afford to do a research study? And I want to say to your audience, you know, when I say research, everybody goes, oh, that's, you know, big companies, we can't afford that. Right. It's BS, right? It can be done. It can be done, whether it's you're talking to doing 10 interviews with your customer base, current customers, customers you lost. You know, that doesn't take time. It takes time, not necessarily money. You can do a quantitative study that doesn't cost a lot of money. And the idea is taking it out of the boardroom and talking to yourselves and getting some kind of insights. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. And secondary research. I mean, there's so much information online today that can give you a foundation. And the only caution I give to your listeners, if you're using secondary research, it's stuff you're pulling off the internet, make sure you know where it came from.
Yeah.
Right. If I sit here and quote McKinsey, I've just added some validity to it. But if I tell you, I got this study from Bob's really good research company, I have no idea who Bob is. Right. So it's about reputation and their modeling and their methodology. It doesn't make sense before you start quoting or changing directions on your company based on some data that's not really solid.
I've found that particularly with the small, mid-sized companies I work with, we'll even do, I don't know, tell me if you think this is, I assume you'll think this is okay, depending on our, on how we set these up, but we'll do surveys of their customer base. You know, well, maybe we'll offer a $25, you know, Amazon card just to participate. You get a shot at it, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I know it gets down. I can already sense the answer will be, well, Alex, yeah, those are a good idea. Depending on how you set them up, depending on the questions you have set up. But what do you think about just down and dirty surveys?
Well, I used to call those and still do call them grandmother research or sticking your toes in the water, right? You're trying to get some level of insight from your customer, and what you hear might trigger to do a deeper study. I mean, from a in-depth one-on-one interview, after around 10, maybe 15, you're going to start to hear the patterns. You're going to start to hear the same issues. I just finished one for an ERP company, and they wanted to understand, we're trying to craft new messaging, change their positioning a bit. But during the interviews, I found out they had a lot of operational issues. Hmm. Now, I set up the questions to kind of dig that out because I've had other experience with that. But I wasn't going to focus on it too much if I kept hearing they're great and they're wonderful. But I heard a lot of stuff that caused a lot of issues that they needed to fix, or they were going to have customer issues down the road. It didn't matter how great their product and services was. There were certain things that were just ticking off the company. So on those kinds of questions, I think just getting out there. Now, if you talk to 10 people, that's really, for me, that's just providing some kind of direction. Right. It's, you can't go in and say, I talked to 10 customers and 47% of them said, therefore the rest of the market wants it. That, yeah, don't do that.
Right.
But to provide some direction, coming back in this case, we see issues, right? So now they can make a decision to go out and do a bigger study. And that happens a lot. From a quantitative study, you can talk to 100 business owners from an online survey or telephone survey kind of thing. And you statistically, you can get there. Talk to consumers, you know, you want certainly more, 500-600. I mean, think about political polling. It's only 600 people, right? So you don't need a ton. And therefore, you know, you can, and they're cheaper, by the way, to talk to a consumer. They're our business leader. And you can get the data. And the other thing is, I always look at questions, is make sure the questions are actionable. What's it going to tell you? Can you use it for cluster analysis or segmentation or drive behavior? You know, nice to know is nice to know. And, you know, most consumers don't get by much more than 7 to a 10 minute survey. You can pack a lot into it, but, you know, you don't want them dropping an offer, quitting and incentivization. I used to have a research company in the action sports industry for about 13 years. And originally I had all the brands send me shoes and surfboards and skateboards and all this stuff. And those would be my prizes. Then I realized I had to actually put them in my garage and I had to go package them up and ship them out to people. And I was a pain in the, you know what? And then I just switched to, you know, everybody who enters the survey, what you said, you have a chance to win a $500 gift card. And then it was like a 200 and then a 100. And surprisingly, money motivates.
Yeah, I get asked constantly, and you know, I like to be a good guy and try to help brands out and people out and do those things, but you know, my time's worth money. Incentivize me a little bit. You know, you don't have to guarantee me a payment, but the idea that I'm in a pool, it does help, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's a chance. And again, it's, you want people to feel like they're have an opportunity. And also, you know, what's the motivation? A lot of times we'll do donations to charities.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then you can get away with a little lower amount. For everybody who participates, we'll donate $5 to a charity. Now, if you're doing, you know, 1,000 people, that's still a lot of money. But yeah. And so we look for different ways to incentivize. And then we use panel research a lot. And typically in a panel, the incentivization is already built into the cost. So I don't have to deal with any of that stuff.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, there's so much more we could ask you about, but I'm kind of excited to have a serious marketing person on the show here for a little bit here. I got to ask you something. Where do you see PR and marketing? Just in my opinion, 20, 25 years ago, there was a gulf between us. Now I think there's a lot of overlap. What's your opinion on marketing and PR?
Well, I think in the PR industry, it has changed drastically with the consolidation in the elimination of publications and newspapers and the way you approach getting, you know, articles placed and things like that. It's totally different than it used to be even just 5 years or 6 years ago. I mean, it's most of the PR people that I know have evolved into more marketing.
Yeah.
In doing some of the things I do, for example, and because traditional PR has just changed. But, you know, given that, you know, again, I look at marketing as that umbrella, and I see, you know, underneath that is, you know, PR, trade show, all the different aspects, because we're all working from ultimately the same plan that's driving a purpose. And I've also have, you know, sales and marketing also used to be that big divide. And
right.
And I've never believed that. And I actually have some strategic partners who believe the way I do. And, you know, we jokingly say we're, you know, sitting around the campfire singing Kumbaya, because it really is. I mean, my friend says to his clients, look at, you need help here, but I don't have a message. I don't have a focus. I can't help you, you know, go out and sell when we don't know how to sell it, because we don't understand what the company is. You need a marketing guy. So we really kind of changed that, how sales and marketing have worked. And the pandemic has certainly changed that. I mean, the traditional funnel was, if you look at, you know, interest, consideration, you know, trial, blah, blah, blah. Well, it used to be after interest and consideration is kind of where you started to hand off the leads to sales. And now it's pushing much farther into the funnel because consumers are doing in business, consumer B2B, B2C, are doing a lot more work online before they ever pick up the phone or make a decision. So there's such a dynamic shift in making sure that you have that online presence, that your reputation is being managed. My brother's actually a well-known researcher in the reputation management field. And, you know, he works all around the world looking at businesses about managing their reputation and doing benchmark studies, because ultimately that's what it is. It's about my reputation, about your reputation, it's about our clients' reputations. Because you have a great product, but if you're difficult to work with, or, you know, blah blah blah, people don't want to deal with that. So anyway, I'm rambling.
Not at all. This is great. I could keep going, but we'll have to get you back one of these days. Angelo Ponzi, tell everybody, if they'd like to learn more, where do they need to go?
Sure. So the easiest way is LinkedIn. I am on LinkedIn, Angelo Ponzi. I don't know my LinkedIn address, but you can find me there. My website is theponzigroup.com. And I, as I mentioned earlier, I also have a podcast called The Business Growth Cafe. And so I encourage you to, you know, listen to that. You can find me on any podcast platform, as I'm sure you can find this show.
That's right. And folks, don't worry if you're furiously scribbling down those things, don't worry about it. The links are going to be in the show notes at prafterhours.com and, of course, in the show notes of wherever you happen to subscribe to this show, where whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, yada, yada, yada. So, Angelo Ponzi, I've learned a lot. I'm sincere when I say I'd love to have you back down the road because I think there's so much more you could tell us, but I really appreciate you taking time to come down here into the virtual lounge of PR After Hours.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I love talking marketing with another marketing person. It's a lot of fun, and maybe next time we can share some horror stories or war stories, however you want to position them. I'm sure we'd be out of, we both have them.
You know, I don't even know if you know that, but I love the war stories. Those are my favorites. Oh my gosh. I think frankly, they're more entertaining and people learn more from them, because every mistake I've ever made or every bad move every client's ever made that I've shared, of course, anonymously, people just eat it up.
Well, and that's how we learn, right? I mean, my first business, was at age 23, and my first failure of a business was age 23. So, you know, in and out in 8 months.
Wow.
So the lesson I learned, you know, carried me forward. Then it was 7 years later, I started my second one. So I wasn't going to be put down. My dad was an entrepreneur. And so I saw it and I wanted that kind of lifestyle. There's a lot of great, I call them litter on the side of the road or dead bodies, but I want to look at them, you know, to get one or two successes, you've got a lot of failures, and that's how we learn.
That's how we learn. Angelo Ponzi, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Hey, listeners, are you considering new ways to build awareness for yourself, your clients, your brand, your business? Might I suggest the podcast option? The podcast option is actually my new ebook available exclusively on Amazon.com. In this fast reading book, I give you the benefit of my 15 years podcasting and broadcasting experience with stories, practical tips, and advice from hundreds of hours I've spent as a podcast host, producer, and guest. The podcast option is mandatory reading for those new to podcasting and a welcome addition to the veteran podcasters library. You can get the podcast option, tips and tricks to make podcasting work for you, exclusively on Amazon.com, or you can click on the link in the show notes or visit prafterhours.com. The podcast option, I hope you will choose it. Oh, you know what that means? Looks like it's last call here at your virtual lounge for PR news, views, and interviews. Don't forget, you can ask me a question anytime. You can do it through our Twitter account, which is @OursPR. Or, even better, you can send me a message vocally. I would love to hear your voice, and I'll answer it on the show. There's a link in the show notes. All you have to do is sign up through Anchor FM. It's free, doesn't take long. And you record your message, I get the message, I will play your audio, just give me your first name and the city you live in, and then I will answer the question to the best of my ability right here on the show. Don't forget, too, if you're enjoying this podcast, you can support it and help increase the frequency and value of the show. Just consider being a sponsor for your brand or your agency or just yourself because you're like, I like this show. Or just drop a few coins in the virtual tip jar. Either way, there's links in the show notes. Please check that out. All of that, of course, being in the show notes where you're listening right now or at prafterhours.com. I see that they're turning up the lights. Last call is over, and I've got to clean up this virtual lounge. And until next time, I'm Alex Greenwood, and you've been listening to PR After Hours on Anchor FM.